Thank you. Good morning. I'm reminded of the first remembrance Sunday service that I led when I was newly instituted the vicar of St. Margaret's in Laceby, which is just outside Grimsby. It was a formal occasion. Everyone was there. The village had turned out. There were uniformed groups. There was the Royal British Legion and some ex-service personnel. There was also the Lord of the Manor, all present. It was one of them, their occasions. And my first remembrance service, and I was conscious that one of the things I needed to do was to get it right and to behave myself. Well, it was okay. We went through the service. It was very dignified. It was right and it was proper. Afterwards, a gentleman took me to one side. His name was Bill Altoft. He put his hand on my shoulder and said, "I'd like to have just a gentle word in your ear, if I may." And he said, "There's something that you mentioned this morning that is often repeated on Remembrance Sunday and is carved into the into war memorials up and down the country." He said, "It's wrong, because soldiers, airmen and the Navy, and those in the Navy, did not give their lives in war." He said, "What happened to people in war is that they were robbed of their lives and they had their lives taken from them. But you and I this morning, we know someone who did give his life, and he is here as the subject of our Bible reading this morning. It's the Lord Jesus, and he identifies himself several times and discloses exactly what he's doing when he says, for example, that he is the Good Shepherd. There it is in verse number 11. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And it's there again in verse 15. "Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." And it's repeated once again in verses 17 and verse 18. So what we're considering this morning, the first thing we're considering, is the very beautiful, and I do particularly use that word beautiful, description of the one who gives his life. Then we're going to consider something of the rich Old Testament background, and a gentle reminder: be careful who you listen to, because we have warnings and caution here in our Bible reading. So the very beautiful description of the one who does give his life for others. Jesus described himself three times, twice in verse 11 and then again in verse 14, as the Good Shepherd. Now, the Greek word translated good means indeed good, but it can also be translated as beautiful. Not just the best, but the only one to whom none may be compared. And the phrase "very beautiful shepherd" is a correct description of Jesus and his allegory here of being the Good Shepherd. A very beautiful shepherd. Now, his description of himself in just two words makes you feel warm inside, because it means that if you love the Lord Jesus, you and I are loved by him. If you've joined the flock through the door, which may be understood as the cross, if you hear what he says and follow him, you know that you are loved. You may feel secure. You are his. You belong. But you may wonder, how is it that I can be certain? Excuse me. How is it that I can be certain that I belong? how is it that I can be certain that the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, actually loves me? Is there any test that I can apply that comes out of our Bible reading this morning? Indeed, there is. There is the phrase, you can look at your brand. Sheep are branded with the brand of ownership. Well, our brand, as following the Lord Jesus, is the brand of the ear and the foot. My sheep hear my voice. They listen, they hear, and they follow me. So if you wonder, do I belong to the Lord Jesus? Do I really belong? Look at your brand. The ear and the foot. You listen and you follow. And it's there from our sermon last week, from what Keith said to us in verse 4, and then what will follow in verse number 27. But no wonder listeners didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And it's there in verse number 6 and verse number 19, where they were confused. What's this man talking about? Because shepherds do not die for their sheep. Think about it for a moment. Because if a shepherd did die in those days of sheep herding, his sheep would also die, because then there would be no one to look after them. Shepherds may indeed, in ancient times, risk their lives for their sheep, as does David. But here the shepherd is giving his life, means more than dying to protect them from thieves or predatory wolves. It means here giving his life instead of the sheep. Jesus is not just the Good Shepherd, but he is the Good Shepherd, the best. There is no other like him. Now, laying down his life for his sheep, or in place of his people, is called in theology and referred to in theology as the atonement. We need to come across that word often and think it through. Because atonement occurs when Jesus and his blood is presented in heaven in the presence of God the Father. Christ taking the place of his people to reconcile his people to God. Then, in heaven, as the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus, then sitting down with God in the heavenly sanctuary. Christ's work is completed. Unlike the high priest of Old Testament times and the earthly tabernacle and Jerusalem temple. Thankfully, the effects of his death, his resurrection, and his heavenly ascension, however, continues in heaven in the presence of God. Our sins are laid upon Christ when he submits as a substitute of the vast number of those whom he saved, who are called the elect. Their sin is, you ready for another theological word? This is an important one that we need to hold on to. It's the word imputed. It means that their sin, our sin, if we love the Lord Jesus, is imputed to Christ. It's rather like it's credited to Christ. Christ's righteousness is imputed to his people, to us who believes. And it means that there is no further need of the sacrifices of animals. The temporary desert tabernacle and the Jerusalem temple have gone. They've been replaced by the work of the Good Shepherd, the Beautiful Shepherd. So there we have, I suggest, a description of the one who gives his life for his people. But then there's a second thing to consider here, and that is the rich Old Testament background to John chapter 10. Jesus takes up here the Old Testament theme of the people of God portrayed as God's sheep, or his flock. There are over 500 references, I'm told. The people of God are compared by the prophets of Israel to self-willed sheep that would perish without a shepherd. We're well aware of Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray, and God thought of as a shepherd in Psalm 23. And then there's Psalm 95. We are the sheep of his pasture. And Isaiah 40. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in his arms, representing the people of God, those who believe, those for whom we die. And the sentiments here are very warm, comforting, and reassuring. You can feel with words like those that you are loved. The Old Testament background to Jesus as the Good Shepherd is in contrast to other prophets of the Old Testament who really should have known better. I suggest you look at Ezekiel 34, because here Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, is told by God to reprimand the shepherds, the prophets of Israel, who do not feed his people. These shepherds look after themselves. They have the best of everything, but they ignore the flock who are committed to their charge. The sick and diseased, well, they're not healed. The lost have neither been searched for nor found, but they have been ignored. And, says Ezekiel, they are scattered and are prey to wild predatory beasts. Ezekiel describes in Ezekiel 34 a horrible situation of neglect by the shepherds of Israel. However, as his chapter continues, God's people, God's sheep, will not be abandoned. God says he will deliver his flock. In 34 verse 11, for example, I will both search for my sheep and seek them out. They will be looked for, they will be gathered, they will be fed. Moreover, God will install his own shepherd, verses 23 and 24. Who shall feed them, even my servant David, and shall be their shepherd? David is a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And here he is, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, announcing himself as such, the Good Shepherd of Ezekiel 34. His sheep, his flock, are loved and they are cared for, in contrast to the others. And very beautiful it is too. In going back to John chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 16. You'll notice the word must. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. This is his task, where he says that what he's saying and his sheep is not for Jews alone, not for his listeners alone. The word must means this is his task. It means, moreover, that they will not be forgotten. They will be included. None will be neglected. None will be lost. So we've looked at two things there so far. We've looked at the very beautiful description of the one who gives his life. We've considered something of the rich Old Testament background. Well, what remains for us this morning is a gentle reminder. Be careful who you listen to. Even be careful who you follow. Our lives have become very difficult over the past few years, mainly with health issues and now economic uncertainty. Perhaps more to come, unfolding later this week. During unguarded moments, we can become prey to those who would waste our time and snatch away our faith. We need to live carefully in the times in which we live. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, reminds us and warns us not to be taken in. For example, in verse number 10, he says there are thieves that can break in and steal. Who do these thieves, I wonder, represent? Well, I think it represents those who are abusive. It represents abuse, even sexual abuse. Spiritual abuse, it raises the need for church safeguarding. Sadly, that can be such destructive, negative publicity, even for churches. Like those who attempt to control and manipulate you, and then discard you, like the blind man is discarded by the Pharisees, whose sight Jesus restored earlier in verse 34 of the previous chapter. Keep away from those leaders, even church leaders, who would steal and take away your faith. But then there's the hired people, verse number 12, the hired hand, who represents, I suggest, those who will make sport of you and leave you with nothing. Rather like a slick speaker on a time-consuming YouTube channel who mocks what you believe. But then one needs to take care of wolves. Now wonder, verse 12, what could they represent? Rather like those who take our time and attention when we use our mobile phone applications and social media platforms. It all takes our time. Face-to-face communication is ignored. I remember attending a wedding many years ago and sitting at the table, we were waiting for the food to be served. And there were two or three people at the table that I would like to have spoken to, and there they were, just looking at their mobile phones. I wonder, were they talking to each other? Who were they talking to? I don't have a mobile phone. I have no intention of having one. And yet, no communication took place with me. Take care of thieves, the hired hand, the wolves. Take care of those who would abuse you. Take care of those who would make sport of you. And take care of those who would take your time. It's so much better to be in the pastoral care of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Beautiful Shepherd. So let's bring this to a conclusion and see where we have arrived. I hope this morning that you feel loved. It is possible sometimes to be worn down by the harsh circumstances of life. You and I can find it difficult to remain loyal sometimes to the Lord Jesus. Shall I go to church today? Shall I bother? Shall I read the text? Shall I bother? We can find it difficult to remain loyal to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Beautiful Shepherd. So here it is, I'm going to give you some homework. I hope you're writing things down. I hope you can remember what your homework is. This is your homework this morning. I want you to read and meditate. Not just read like you read the newspaper and put it to one side, but read and think. Meditate on these three chapters from the Bible. We've mentioned them already. Meditate on Isaiah 53 and see how Isaiah, in ancient times, presented Jesus the good, the beautiful shepherd from Isaiah 53. Of course, the words are familiar. That's why I ask you to read it. Read Isaiah and meditate on it this week. During the week, read it slowly. Meditate. Breathe it in. The second chapter, of course, is Ezekiel 34. Now, Ezekiel 34 may be a little difficult. Don't worry about if it is difficult. Read the whole chapter through. And see particularly the middle section, because the middle section concentrates not on the bad shepherds, but the good shepherd. The good shepherd who is expected. So, not next week, but the week after, Ezekiel 34. And then the week after that, the obvious chapter, of course, it's in front of us, John chapter 10. So can you do that? That is your homework. I will be testing you. I'm ruthless. I will. This week, Isaiah 53. Read and meditate. The week after, Ezekiel 34. Read and meditate. Then the week after that, return to John chapter 10. Read and meditate. So here it is. This is who we have considered. Jesus the Good Shepherd, the one who I've also styled Jesus the Beautiful Shepherd. Believe with all your heart in God's unseen hand in your life. Believe with all your heart that Jesus the Good Shepherd cares for you and he knows your situation. Believe with all your heart that you are loved, and it is so good to feel loved. It is good and it is beautiful to be a member of his flock and to be cared for. Whatever happens this week and on into the future, make sure that you stay with him. Stay with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and feel warmth, feel comfortable, feel loved. Amen. Let us pray. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. I just wonder when the exam papers will be issued, and we'll.